You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com/Braves Country. Hey, Braves Country, I'm Mac McGee. Join us for Pitch by Pitch, Play by Play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball. We're bringing you Atlanta Braves baseball all year long. Jump into our pregame show, Braves Country Today, just before first pitch. Stick around for the postgame show, Braves Country Tonight, where we will open up the phone lines and react to your calls or your comments all year long. That's Braves Country Radio, pitch by pitch, play by play, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey, and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Brand new for the 2024 Braves Country Radio broadcast season, along with pitch by pitch, play by play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball, we will bring you a live pregame show and postgame show, and phone lines wide open for you to call, react, or ask your questions along with the chat. That's Braves Country Today pregame, Braves Country Tonight postgame. We'll see you in 2024.
Armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have any idea?
Really, this is
you
what you're doing?
You have any
this
idea?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station. The radio station you can call your own. Do you know what listening is? listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
Hail to the victors, rally! Hail to the conquering heroes! Hail, hail to Michigan, the leaders and best!
All right, if you're not familiar with that, the first one was a snippet of the Ohio State fight song. The second was obviously Hail to the Victors, probably a little more recognizable to most folks. And that is our number two rivalry in the college football land. And I know what a lot of folks are thinking. What in the hell could be number one? Well, we'll get to that. But before we do, the number two in all the land. Talked about the criteria for this, and one of them, without any hesitation, has to be the longevity. Can't be a really recent rivalry. We're not going to throw something like, we're not going to go nuts and go, well, Alabama, Texas, let's go, let's get it. They're, you know, no. Georgia versus Oklahoma, they're in the SEC now. No. It's got to be something that's been going for a hot minute. And this one, the other criteria would be obviously that it has had an impact on the national stage. And what better one to have on your number two list other than Michigan versus Ohio State, the Ohio State University, as they were the first ones to say it. I know others use it now jokingly, but they were the first ones to mention the Ohio State, so you got to give it credit where credit is due. First meeting between the Wolverines and the Buckeyes was 1897. Michigan pounded Ohio State at Regents Field 34-0. 34-0. By the way, Regents Field was the home for Michigan football from 1893 to 1902. 1893 was actually known as Athletic Field, and then Regents Field became the name for the nine-year span before moving on. It was demolished in 1923, and oh, how times have changed. First of all, the construction of it was just $4,000. It would be, if you're looking for the inflation adjustment costs, it would be $130,000 in today's landscape. And it was demolished in 1923. Little snippet there of the first place that Michigan and Ohio State collided. They have had 119 meetings as we head into the 2024 season, head towards the 2024 season. So depending when you are hearing this, when you are consuming this, this is where we are at now. Michigan leads the all-time series, pretty close series, especially considering the fact that Ohio State got behind the eight ball a little bit to start off, but Michigan leads at 61-51, and there were six ties. The largest victory, jeez Louise, 1902, Michigan, 86, Ohio State, nothing. They truly, you know, they never even heard of the term running up the score back then. Remember the famous one? Was it Tech, and was it 222-0? I believe that they beat Cumberland. It was somewhere in that neighborhood. Anyways, the two teams first meet in 1897, and the rivalry has been played annually and uninterrupted from 1918 until 2020, when the coronavirus pandemic put a halt, which really was ridiculous and a shame that they did not find a way to get these two on the same. I mean, come on, what are we doing? But anyways, of all the things that took place in that year,
in the sports world, that was one of the most egregious of all. But we'll set that year aside, and we'll just call it a goofy year, a goofy political year, and we'll just say that from 1918 until now, they've played every year. And the game has been played at the end of the regular season since 1935, except for the 1942 season, the 1998 season, and then, of course, 2020. Since 1918, the game's site has alternated between Ann Arbor and Columbus. And, of course, at their homes of Ohio Stadium since 1922 and Michigan Stadium since 1927. And the game has been traditionally, for as long as I can remember, aired at noon Eastern to start what we call Rivalry Day, Rivalry Weekend, on that Saturday following Thanksgiving. It was on ABC for many of years at noon Eastern, and when Fox took over the broadcast in 2017, they continued that tradition. So after that 1897 season, where the Wolverines won 34-0, the teams did not play in 98 or 99, but played again in 1900. And between 1897 and 1912, the Michigan Wolverines compiled a 12 wins, no losses, and two ties versus Ohio State, including that 86-0 shellacking. Ohio State became a member of the Big Ten in 1912, and in 1917, Michigan rejoined the conference after a 10-year absence. In 1918, they play in their first conference matchup, with Michigan winning 14-0. The first of the historic games played in Ohio Stadium took place in October 21st, 1922. The stadium was dedicated in Columbus, in front of a crowd of 71,000, the Wolverines posted another shutout of the Buckeyes 19-0. According to legend, there was a wager on the outcome of this game, and yellow flowers on a blue background still exist today in the upper part of the stadium's rotunda. Michigan won the next five games before Ohio State picked up the final two victories of the decade. At the end of the 1920s, the series stood 19-5-2 in favor of Michigan. Michigan would go on to win three of the next four contests. In 1934, Francis Schmidt came on as the Ohio State head coach. The team had lost nine of its previous 12 contests versus Michigan. A reporter asked Schmidt if Ohio State could beat Michigan this year. And he replied, quote, "Of course we can win. Michigan puts their pants on one leg at a time, just like we do," unquote. The Buckeyes ran off four straight shutout victories against Michigan after that, quote, outscoring the Wolverines 114-0 from 1934 to 1937. Schmidt's quote spawned an Ohio State tradition. Since 1934, every Ohio State player receives a gold pants pendant after a victory against the Michigan Wolverines. That still stands to this day. Michigan would win 1938, 1939, and 1940, where Michigan won the 40 game 40-0. And some believe that it's arguably one of the greatest teams in Michigan history, if not the greatest team in Michigan history. 1941, Michigan-Ohio State met for the first time with each team ranked in the AP poll. The 14th-ranked Buckeyes played the 5th-ranked Wolverines to a 20-20 tie in Ann Arbor. One of the most famous games in the rivalry is 1950, and it is known as the Snow Bowl. 8th-ranked Ohio State, coached by Wes Fessler at the time, now Woody's on his way, was scheduled to host the game on November 25th, in Columbus, amidst one of the worst blizzards in the history of Ohio. Buckeyes, who led the Big Ten, were granted the option to cancel the game against Michigan, which would have by default giving the Buckeyes the Big Ten title outright. But Ohio State refused to just get the W, or get the cancel, I guess you would say. And the game was set to be played amidst, and I mean, they talk about it was just a howling wind. There was snow. It was a literal blizzard. And it was a, if you ever talk about a field position game, this was a field position game. The teams exchanged 45 punts. Often they punted on first down. And what they were doing is that they, according to the reporters at the game that day, they said that the teams were punting on first down, second down, et cetera, because they were hoping that the receiving team would fumble the ball. And of course, you're punting it towards their end zone, hoping that you would back into one. Ohio State's Vic Janowicz, who would win the Heisman Trophy that year, punted 21 times for 685 yards and also kicked a field goal in the first quarter for the Buckeyes' only points. Michigan would capitalize on two block punts, booting one out of the back of the end zone for a safety and recovering the other one in the end zone for a touchdown. Despite not being able to gain a single first down or completion or a single forward pass, Michigan had a 9-3 victory, securing the Big Ten title and a Rose Bowl berth. Heavy criticism of Fessler and his play calling led to his resignation and the hiring of the great Woody Hayes. From 1951 to 1968, under Woody Hayes, the Buckeyes would win 12 of 16 contests, including in 1957 in Michigan Stadium, the first college football game ever attended by over 100,000 fans, leading to the nickname the Big House. In 1958, Ohio State had a 20-14 lead towards the end of the game on the final play of the game. Michigan fullback Gene Cisnak ran the ball from the 1 yard line for what might have been a game winning touchdown, but Ohio State defensive tackle Dick Schrelleth hit Cisnak, forcing a fumble and sealing the win. In the 1968 game, Ohio State wins 50-14. Outscoring Michigan 29-0 in the second half and attempting an unsuccessful two-point conversion on his final touchdown. In the post-game interview, Woody Hayes was famously asked why he went for 2 points with a 50-14 lead. And he replied, because they wouldn't let me go for three. And that is this rivalry in a nutshell. The victory gave top-ranked Ohio State the Big Ten title for the first time in 7 years and the national championship. The Buckeyes had also narrowed the series margin to 37-24. And from 1969 to 1978, we enter the 10-year war. More on that next. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale's Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide-open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Hey, Braves Country, this is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Braves Country today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country today. Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Right. Was this being the Ohio State fight song? Michigan, Ohio State. The game, as it is known. Let's dive back in. 1969 is the year. 1978. It is known as the 10-year war. Wolverines coach Bump Elliott resigned after the 1968 loss. That's the one we just talked about, where Ohio State had pounded Michigan 50-14. Bump Elliott, by the way, was the head coach at Michigan after playing for Michigan from 1946 to 1947. He started his college career before World War II, or before during World War II, at Purdue, and then he transferred over to Michigan, and he would eventually become a backfield coach, and then he was the head coach for Michigan for 10 years. By the way, after he retired, he became the athletic director for Iowa. His son, by the way, Bob Elliott, would become Iowa's defensive coordinator under Hayden Fry in the 1990s. But back to the 10-year war, Bo Schembechler, who had previously been an assistant coach under Woody Hayes at Ohio State, was hired to revitalize the Michigan program. It's funny how they always talk about, he's a Michigan man, you got to make sure you're a Michigan man, right? I think we've heard that term, Michigan man, as much as we have heard the same kind of stuff talked about with Alabama guys and whatnot, right? And I just always assumed growing up that Bo Schembechler was a Michigan man. Not so. Bo Schembechler was born in Barberton, Ohio in 1929. Now, he would later pass away in 2006 in Southfield, Michigan. But he played college football, not for Ohio State, not for Michigan, but for Miami of Ohio. So he was everything but a Michigan man. In fact, he was has an entire assistance career for Ohio State, Presbyterian, and then Bowling Green, Northwestern, Ohio State, and then became the head coach at Miami of Ohio, his alma mater, for six seasons before taking over the Michigan program, where he would coach from 1969 to 1989. And Bo Schembechler is one of the great college football coaches of all time, even though he never brought home a national championship for Michigan. Overall, he was 234-65 with 8 ties. He was 5-12 in the bowl games, and that was back when bowl games mattered. They no longer hold that same kind of weight, but back then bowl games were, it was a badge of honor to go in and win bowl games. I miss those days, to be honest with you. And I still think it can be revitalized. I think the only way you can revitalize the bowl system is to push it to the beginning of the season, unless you just rename all the playoff rounds, the playoff games, the such and such bowl, the such and such bowl. But as far as what the true spirit of a bowl game is, I think your only real way of doing it would be to push it to the beginning of the season or midway through the season. It's got to be a part of the season. It just has to be. But anyways, back to Bo Schembechler. He did win 13 Big Ten titles. Now he had already won 2 Mid-American titles before he came over with Miami of Ohio. He's the Coach of the Year in 1969. The AFCA Coach of the Year in 1969. The Walter Camp Coach of the Year in 1969 as well. The Bobby Dodd Coach of the Year in 1977. Sporting News Coach of the Year in 85. And the Amos Alonzo Stagg, which is a Lifetime Achievement Award, in 1999. 6-time Big Ten Coach of the Year. It should be noted, by the way, the Coach of the Year in 69 for both Walter Camp and AFCA, he didn't get the Big Ten Coach of the Year. And the Big Ten Coach of the Year, which has since been renamed the Dave McLean Hayes Schembechler Coach of the Year. I mean, how many of these names can you cram in to Coach of the Year name? The reason why he did not win it in 1969 is because they did not create it until 1972. And wouldn't you know, the first 2 years it was Schembechler and then Woody Hayes. Now, Woody Hayes, just to give you an idea of who Woody Hayes was, he had 238 wins in his career. He coached for Ohio State from 1951 to 1978. He won 5 national championships, 54, 57, 61, 68, and 70. A couple of those have been disputed with others claiming, but any way you slice it, was one of the greats. And 13 Big Ten titles. He was a native of Ohio, born there in 1913 until he passed away in Upper Arlington, Ohio in 1987. But back to the rivalry, the 10-year war, it begins in 1969 on November 22nd. Woody Hayes, number one ranked Ohio State Buckeyes, goes into Michigan Stadium to face Schembechler and the Wolverines. The Buckeyes had brought a 22-game winning streak into Ann Arbor, but a 60-yard punt return by Barry Pearson that set up the Wolverines' touchdown in the second quarter really started to inspire and catapult the Wolverines. They intercepted Ohio State 6 times, 3 by Barry Pearson, the man that had the 60-yard punt return. The Wolverines win the game. Both teams, by the way, were scoreless in the second half. They win the game 24-12. 4 times between 1970 and 1975, so a 6-year span, Ohio State and Michigan were both ranked in the top 5 in the AP poll when they met up. Michigan entered every one of those matchups undefeated and won only once, a 10-7 victory in Ann Arbor in 1971. The Michigan graduating class of 1975 shared or won the Big Ten championship every season, yet the Rose Bowl only once in 1972. And I do remember growing up that was a big knock against Schembechler's, that he could not win the Rose Bowl, that he was just, that his teams, kind of like the way it was brought up with Nebraska and Oklahoma in the 80s, that the entire time Schembechler was there, that the Big Ten was really known as the Big Two. It was Ohio State, it was Michigan. You knew they were going to meet at the final game of the season. It's kind of like the way it is now. And that the two teams would be undefeated because they're playing cream puffs at a conference. And the game, along with the Rose Bowl, would really define their seasons. Woody Hayes coined the phrase, that state up north and that team up north, because he refused to say the word Michigan. He once refused to get gas in an empty tank, saying, no, GD it. We do not pull in and fill up. And I'll tell you exactly why we don't. It's because I don't buy one drop of gas in the state of Michigan. We'll coast and push this GD car to the Ohio line before I give this state a nickel of my money. And that had to have been, so when the great Mike Martin, the all-time winning college baseball coach from Florida State, passed away, I heard a story about the fact that he would not fill up gas or go to a gas station, period. He wouldn't stop in the city of Gainesville for anything. Not food, not gas, not nothing. And he says because he did not want to attribute any of his money towards the Gainesville economy. I would have loved to have been able to ask him. That had to have been where that came from. Because you're talking about it predating from Mike Martin going to Florida. It's a good 15 years or so. And the story that was being told of him saying that was about 20 years after this. So it just tells you how things like that just end up influencing guys down the road. During the 10-year war, Ohio State and Michigan shared the Big Ten title 6 times between 76 and 78. Michigan won the game each year, and Ohio State failed to score a touchdown in any of those games. The 10-year war ended after 1978, Woody Hayes famously punched Clemson linebacker Charlie Bowman on December 29th, 1978 during the Gator Bowl. That 78 game, by the way, was won by Michigan 14-3, giving Shem Beckler a 5-4-1 record against Hayes, which would obviously end after Woody Hayes punched Bowman, which, by the way, Bowman forgave him for it. It would end Woody Hayes' career. And at the end of Hayes' tenure, the series stood 42 wins, 28-5. The next 8 years would be Shem Beckler versus Bruce, Earl Bruce. And he was a solid coach. He never got to the level of what Woody Hayes did, but he was a solid coach. And he actually won the series from 79 to 87. He went 5-4. The reason why he couldn't keep his job was because Earl Bruce just couldn't keep Ohio State on the national stage. I remember a couple of upsets when Bobby Bowden was still trying to build the Florida State brand, where the Noles went into Columbus. At the time, they were ranked in the top 5 in the country and shocked them back-to-back years. In fact, it was the same exact score. I believe it was 34-17 or 34-18. It's really strange. Both years back-to-back, same score. Somewhere here in my studio, I've got a cup with the score on it. My dad was at one of the games, and I've kept that cup as a little cheap plastic cup from the early 1980s, but something that I've held on to for, it was long before he passed away. He passed away about 15 years ago or so, and I think he gave it to me 10 years before that. So I've held on to that thing. You know, I've moved all over the country, and a lot of times I have discarded so much stuff, but I've held on to that damn cup. A couple of things like that I've held on to. Because I can tell you this, I would move, and literally whatever would fit on a plane is what I was taking with me. So so we're talking about a couple of suitcases. And sometimes, man, clothes and shoes just had to be left because I wasn't going to leave out some of my favorite things that I've acquired in my life, mainly from my dad and my grandparents and whatnot over sports. But anyways, back to the rest of the story, as they say. John Cooper era begins for the Ohio State Buckeyes in 1988. And Jim Tressel would come along after the John Cooper era. I was always shocked that Cooper stayed as long as he did. He was always solid, but Michigan dominated that series Michigan went 10-2-1 in that 13-game stretch. Gary Moeller and Lloyd Carr were the two coaches that John Cooper went up against. But Cooper always kept Ohio State on the map nationally. But he could not beat Michigan. It really was wild. I always expected him to get fired, and he just kept holding on and holding on. So after the John Cooper era, Jim Tressel era begins. And that would begin 2001, 2006. Of course, he would have his scandal. We'll get into the games here in a second. And then from 2007 to 2014, you would have just a carousel of coaches. After Lloyd Carr would retire, you had Rich Rodriguez come in. It really was a revolving door for both, and especially Michigan, because Ohio State would bring in Urban Meyer after his fake heart attack at, I don't know what the hell is going on there, but the fake heart attack, the two fake heart attacks he had at Florida, he ends up being the head coach like a year later, so whatever. But Urban Meyer would do his damage. Harbaugh comes in 2018, and then Meyer gets run out for another, I mean, it's unbelievable. This guy's got nine lives, but another controversy. And then, of course, that's when Ryan Day would go in, and then Harbaugh. And now we head to the next chapter of this Ohio State-Michigan series, which really has been phenomenal. When we come back, we're going to talk about the biggest games, the biggest moments of this great rivalry. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio. Hey, Braves Country, this is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Dread running to the post office? Stamps.com brings post office and UPS services right to your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and get up to 40% off USPS and up to 62% off UPS rates. Nearly 1 million small businesses use Stamps.com to save time and money. It's a no-brainer. So skip the post office and visit Stamps.com. Use promo code LISTEN for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. That's Stamps.com, promo code LISTEN.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Brand new for the 2024 Braves Country Radio broadcast season, along with pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball, we will bring you a live pregame show and postgame show, and the phone lines wide open for you to call, react, or ask your questions along with the chat. That's Braves Country Today pregame, Braves Country Tonight postgame. We'll see you in 2024.
Hail to the Victor's Valley. Hail to the Bumping Heroes. Hail, hail to Michigan, the leaders and
game, baby.
Hail to the conquering heroes. Hail, hail to Michigan, the champions.
If you do not watch this game, if you do not watch the game, are you really a college football fan? I have to question it. Or are you just a fan of your team? And there is a huge difference. There's not a slight difference. There is a huge difference. Are you only a Georgia Bulldog, only an Alabama Crimson Tide, a Florida Gator, whoever, USC fan? Are you only interested in watching your team? Or do you engulf yourself on Saturdays with a cold one, whether it's cerveza or just pop, some chips, whatever you want to entertain yourself with, food-wise, beverage-wise, and just sit and enjoy a Saturday? Because that's who I am. I make it no secret that I am a diehard Florida State fan. A lot of that comes from the fact that my dad graduated from Florida State in the 60s, and I grew up on college football. I would not be the college football fan that I am if it was not for Florida State football and my dad. My grandfather really didn't care that much about college football. When I moved in with my grandparents in the early 1980s, I remember him being a sports fan and enjoying sports. But college football was not at the top of his list. He liked the Atlanta Braves. He's the one that got me into the Atlanta Braves. Both grandfathers got me into baseball, but he got me into the Atlanta Braves. And on top of that, I remember him liking a little bit of NASCAR. Not where he would sit and watch a whole race. He would just kind of dip in and see who's winning and then go back out. He would rather work on his car than watch other cars going around and around. But he always wanted to know how the Fords were doing. My grandfather only bought Fords. And he cared about the NFL. But he really didn't wrap his life around it. He was a baseball guy. He was an NFL guy-ish. And until I moved in, college football was interesting to him. But he didn't really have a big-time love for it. I move in. My dad was a traveling salesman, literally traveling like all around the Southeast. And my grandparents raised us for about 6 years. And what would happen is my dad would come into town to see us very regularly. And the way the three of us bonded together was watching ball games, especially Florida State ball games. So then it became quickly, and I mean quickly, it became an obsession for my grandfather. And until the day he died, like, that was his sport. In fact, I don't ever remember seeing him wear any sports attire, meaning shirts or caps or anything, nothing except for Florida State. And I think it did bother my dad to a degree that he graduates from Florida State and my grandfather doesn't realistically watch a whole lot of it. But then I move in, and because I'm a big Florida State fan, he all of a sudden becomes a big fan. That was my dad's perception. I don't think that's what happened. I think what happened was, that was the one thing that me and my dad could bond over, what was going on in the world of college football. That's what he loved, was college sports. And so if I knew something he did not know, and this is long before the world of Twitter and the world of any other, you know, Google, anything. The only information you ever got was on your local sportscast, because ESPN did not talk about Southern football. So the only thing that you got was on your local sportscast, which was usually like a blurb. They usually didn't know a damn thing. It was usually slighted. I mean, it was slanted all to hell. I mean, we're talking about me growing up in Jacksonville, Florida as a young kid, and everything that came over the dial was about the Florida Gators, except Florida-Georgia week, you got Georgia stuff. And then, oh, by the way, there's this team out in Tallahassee. I'll be honest with you, I don't remember ever seeing anything about the Miami Hurricanes, because for folks who aren't familiar with the geography of it, they're 6 hours south. The Bulldogs are closer to Jacksonville than Miami ever thought about being. So that was it. That's pretty much how I got my information. If I saw something that I knew he didn't see, because there's no way he could have seen it because he's traveling in North Carolina and Georgia and all the, you know, Nashville, Tennessee, he was traveling all over. I knew if I could find some information that he didn't know specifically about Florida State, but just sports in general, that I saw on the local news feed, the moment he would walk through the door, guess what I saw today, Dad? And he'd be like, what? And you could get, and he would be telling people to shut up and just pipe down, and I'm trying to listen to what he's got to say because I'm going off of what he's saying. He would try to decipher if I was right or wrong because, you know, I'm a kid, so sometimes I'm telling him stuff that's a little half-cocked. But it was what I saw and what I heard. And as I got older, I had to make sure what I was seeing and hearing was correct because he'd call me on it. He'd give you a pass if you didn't know the answer to a geometry problem. But by God, you better be accurate about the injury report heading into Florida State, South Carolina. I mean, that's just the way it was. So I grew up watching all the sports and all of college football. And I still do that to this day. I don't understand the fan that only watches or consumes his team in a sport, his or her team in a sport. I understand it to a degree. I can't get on board with it. I can't be a fan of a sport and not knowing what in the world's going on with the other teams. It's one of the reasons why I quit paying attention to the National Hockey League. When I lived in the Nashville area, I kid you not, I was becoming a pretty big Nashville Predator fan and probably would have stuck with it. And then they had the year and a half hiatus, lockout, strike, whatever you want to call it. And I found out I didn't realistically need hockey to fill my days. And I moved away. I moved back and forth. But at the same token, I started just realizing, what else can I watch that's not hockey? Because I was actually going to a lot of hockey games in the early to mid 2000s in Nashville. And I remember being electrified. It was a playoff loss. It ended the series, but I was electrified by a Nashville Predator playoff loss right before the strike, lockout, whatever, you know what? I don't even remember it. It's been so long. I feel like it was a strike. But I think they struck because there was a possibility of a lockout. I can't remember. The one that happened in the mid-2000s. The one that all of a sudden, and I know it's been a long time, but this is why I fell out of it. All of a sudden, ESPN and the other networks realized they were getting the same ratings from hockey as they were from televising the World Series of Poker. They didn't have to spend near the money. So I just kind of lost interest. I still love a really good hockey playoff game. You can't get me to watch the regular season. I've tried. But to the sports that I am consumed with, football, baseball, college football, baseball, college soccer, college softball, I will watch other teams play. Now, I'm more likely to watch my team on the college level, not talking about football. So in other words, like college baseball, I'm more likely, because I just don't consume a lot of games, period. College soccer, the women's soccer game to me is very good. I don't care if people like it or not. It's fascinating. I've gotten into college softball. But I've gotten to where I can watch more than just my team. And when it comes to college football, I know it's a long way to get to this point, but Ohio State, Michigan, man, if you're let's just say you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, that's the only team you watch. And you don't really watch anything else. You might watch an SEC game here and there. You've watched your share of the Iron Bowls. But all in all, you just watch your team, whether it's the Bulldogs or whoever. Just hear me out. Your falls will be more enriched if you take the time to watch the big rivalries all around the country. Not just the Southeastern Conference. Not just the ACC games. Not just the games that involve teams east of the Mississippi and south of the Mason-Dixon line. And maybe Oklahoma and Texas coming in will broaden your horizons on that. But you got to watch the game. It does not matter if you have a dog in the hunt. If your favorite team this year for whatever reason. So we're not talking Georgia, because be very shocking if the final week of the season Georgia's not already sewn up a playoff spot. But we'll talk about maybe you're a college football fan of someone who sometimes is in the mix, but this coming year it just doesn't happen. Maybe you're Texas A&M, right? That's a perfect example, starting with a new coach. And if you don't watch Ohio State, Michigan, but you love college football, you are missing out. This is one of the truly great rivalries. Some of the games that have gone on in this rivalry, there have been 14 times since 1942 that both teams have been ranked in the top five in the AP poll. How crazy is that? And in those times, there was one tie. Ohio State has won 7. Michigan, 6. What about the game the one in 2023 was pretty good, but 30-24 Michigan wins. Didn't feel quite that close, but what about the game in 2016 where Ohio State wins in double overtime 30-27? And this is probably the game when you talk about the game. The 2006, the one they call the game of the century, number one Ohio State outlast number two Michigan 42-39. Truly was just an unbelievable seesaw affair. 2003, number four Ohio State loses to number five Michigan 35-21. In 1997, the year that Michigan split the national championship, Michigan won that game 20-14. It was number one Michigan versus number five Ohio State. What's crazy about this, because it's happened so much recently, from 1997, you have to go all the way back to 1977, 20 years, where number four Ohio State loses to number five Michigan 14-6. In the 1970s alone, they had 5 games where both teams were ranked in the top five. From 1968 to 1977, so a 12-game, 6. It's unprecedented. And that's why this is the best of the national series. It's ranked number 2 on our list. And when we get to number 1, you'll understand the ranking a little more. So I don't want to tip my hand, but this is the cream of the crop. It's not just because these teams are normally in the top 5, top 10, top 20. It's the fact that usually you get pretty darn good games out of this. Now, there was a stretch. I mean, look, 2018, 2019, Ohio State was blowing the doors off of Michigan, and people were talking about firing Harbaugh. Remember that? I mean, Ohio State was housing them. But you go back not too far before that, and here's some of the results. You know what? We'll go into the 1990s. Here are some of the results. Number 15 versus number 19, Michigan, Ohio State. Michigan wins that game on 1990, 16-13. What a great game that was. 1995, number 18, Michigan knocks off number 2, Ohio State, 31-23. I mean, there have been some colossal upsets. 2000, number 19, Michigan over Ohio State, 38-26. Ohio State was ranked 12th in the country. 2001, Ohio State comes in unranked and knocks off number 11, Michigan, 26-20 in Ann Arbor. 2002, number 2, Ohio State in Columbus squeaks out a win versus Michigan 14-9. Michigan was ranked number 12 in the country. You know, we've gone over the head coaches that have been in this game, and you think about, I think one of the first things that comes to my mind in this series is the punt return by Desmond Howard and the famous call by Keith Jackson, "Hello, Heisman." And that really stamped, it really did put a stamp on his Heisman candidacy. And of course, there's been so many Heisman Trophy winners in this game, we don't have time to go over it, but you can't think of the Heisman Trophy without thinking about Archie Griffith. Just an incredible, incredible game. The game of the century. Briefly talked about it a second ago, but it was up and down and forth and back. They were both ranked 1 and 2 in the BCS rankings when they entered that game. It was billed Game of the Century, and we've heard that moniker a lot. I think the first time they really used that term was in 93, Notre Dame hosting Florida State, or it's, at least it's the first time that I can remember hearing it. After that, it seemed like once a year there was a Game of the Century. But this one really lived up to the billing. Mike Hart scores a touchdown in that game, and then the Buckeyes rattle off 21 unanswered points and go into the half up 28-14. Later in the game, junior quarterback Chad Henne, remember him? Found senior tight end Tyler Ecker for a 16-yard touchdown with 2 minutes to cut the Ohio State lead to 42-37. Senior wide receiver Steve Breston then catches the two-point conversion. Then Michigan has to get an onside kick, and it came close. They couldn't get it, and Troy Smith and company head on to get their nose pushed in the national championship game by the Florida Gators. But that was an incredible game, just absolutely incredible game. And for my money, you can rank it wherever you want to. You can rank it higher, you can rank it lower, but it's the number two on my list for a reason. And when we talk next time, we'll talk about the number one college football rivalry in all the land. Have a great one, y'all.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember, something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Ha! Ha! Can I get another cigarette, please?
Hey, Braves Country, I'm Mac McGee. Join us for Pitch by Pitch, Play by Play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball. We're bringing you Atlanta Braves baseball all year long. Jump into our pregame show, Braves Country Today, just before first pitch. Stick around for the postgame show, Braves Country Tonight, where we will open up the phone lines and react to your calls or your comments all year long. That's Braves Country Radio, pitch by pitch, play by play, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey, and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Brand new for the 2024 Braves Country Radio broadcast season, along with pitch by pitch, play by play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball, we will bring you a live pregame show and postgame show, and phone lines wide open for you to call, react, or ask your questions along with the chat. That's Braves Country Today pregame, Braves Country Tonight postgame. We'll see you in 2024. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.